essence of happiness. So please bring your unhappiness here and we will talk about the essence of happiness. Then everything will be all right. Where is my audience? They're still sleeping, Bhagavati. No, it's all right, they know. Who wants to come? He is welcome. Who does not want to come should. It's very equally good. Equally good. No, that's a different one. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Vaskatyane Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vasari Govaktaminda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama My dear devotees, when we sit down, obviously it's not easy to bring the mind immediately to the Maha Mantra. And even if we think there are no distracting thoughts going on, I can't speak this while we sing, while we are in the kirtan. Even if we think there are no distracting thoughts going on, you know, whatever we have experienced during the day, these sanskaras, the impressions, maybe our mood, like I was upset about something a little while ago, and I still know my subtle body is still a little vibrating, although it is almost 90% gone. But I can imagine all of us, we carry our moods. I, for instance, know one devotee is very sad at the moment. And although the mind is maybe not thinking about the things he is sad about, there is a mental energy of sadness. I'm just being Vedic psychology a little bit. Don't worry, it won't be long. So how then can we expect to really go deep into the chanting? Well, what really helps is to just sit and relax and tell yourself, I'm now in the kirtan. And then, as you just arrive here in the present moment, in German you would say im Jetztgewahrsein, as you arrive in the present moment, you just switch on a capability of your mind which all of us have. It is you bring your attention away from all the other things, including the subtle moods which are there as the ground, as a substratum, at the earth from which the weeds of the thoughts grow. You just bring it to the attention, away from all the things which go on, and just go to the chanting of the holy name. And then you gently remain with each of the holy names, and you will see after some time your inner state starts to change, so that at the end you feel, wow, I have not thought about all these things which trouble me at the moment, and you feel actually genuine happiness. Please try. It's a science. Let me just greet my youngest guest, Shuka und Janavi. Ihr seid ja da. Toll. Es ist toll, euch zu sehen. Also ich bin total begeistert von eurer Anwesenheit. Wir brauchen einfach ein bisschen junge Energie, sonst verknöchern wir alten Damen und Herren total. Nicht? Also mit eurer jugendlichen Energie bringt ihr uns zu einem besseren Leben. Gut, also unbedingt mitmachen. Und jetzt, Janavi und Shuka, ich habe gerade gesprochen, wie man richtig singt. Also, dass ihr richtig singt mit der ganzen Stimme. Bei Kindern ist das ein bisschen anders. Und für Krishna ein schönes Liedli singt. Nicht? Hare Krishna. Yes. Now every one of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhu Parat, Prabhu Parat, Prabhu Parat, Sila Prabhu Parat. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Gauranitai, Jaya Radha, Shyam Sundar Radha, Shyam Sundar Sridhare. In a way, we human beings all carry two wounds in our hearts. One wound is a small or superficial wound. The second is a deep wound. The small wound or small wounds were made by human beings in whom we placed our hopes and who disappointed us in some ways. But the deeper, much more difficult to cure and heal wound is the God wound. I'm calling it the God wound. I'm not saying it's a wound caused by God. What I mean is that since we, the souls, are separated from the Lord, torn away from the only beloved, something of our heart has been torn open. And no matter what we try to close this wound, only when the Lord comes back in our heart will this wound be sealed forever. Maybe you are like me, that sometimes as you go through life, in little moments when you are more aware, more thoughtful, more spiritually alert, you think, oh, I would like to now know a little bit about Krishna. I would like to know if he loves me. I would like to know, how does he look? Because deep inside, you know much more than you pretend you do not know. Deep inside, you know, only if I'm together with Krishna, either on the very high levels, or at least thinking of Krishna, being aware of him, conscious of Krishna, having him in my life, will the wound close. Today I would like to tell you something which helped me very much. I had that, you know, that what I'm talking about, an awareness that, oh, I'm so far away from you, my Lord. No matter what I try, I feel your presence is not there in my life to the degree I would love it. And whenever this comes to me, this feeling, I turn to some granthas, some scriptures which talk directly about Krishna. Because I have heard and experienced that if you can just pay total attention to Krishna's pastimes, then you become relieved. You exit in a way your own mind and you enter another mind. I did this and I found something which is of deep significance to my life. I always wondered when Krishna left Vrindavan and did not return to Vrindavan. I mean, what went on in him and why didn't he return? And more important, did he actually return and what happened when he returned? So at the end of Gopalchampu, I found a nice narration, which is, or katha, which is known as the essence of all happiness. And I read it over. It's a long katha. I will try to give it in 2 days. I read it and thought about it, and when I chanted, I went there, and then I decided to write it down and tell it. May I first ask you, are you interested in Krishna's return?
Yes.
It is in entry. Sugar und Janavi, seid ihr auch interessiert, wie Krishna zurückgekehrt ist nach Vrindavan? Gut, dann werden wir das erzählen. See, I constantly struggle when I have an audience to whom I want to talk what is most dear to my heart, and then they're really not interested. They want some entertainment, which I can tell wild stories also. If you want, I could describe what happened with Ashok's brother when his, you know, etc. You know. But today, please support me. It's not easy to share one's heart. And please, even if your mind goes somewhere else, look interested. some support for the poor lecturer. Krishna always desired to return to Vrindavan. He was not happy as the prince of Dwaraka, who lived in 16,108 palaces. Sometimes during the night, the queens who slept next to him were awakened when Krishna called out, "O Radha, O Sri Damsaka." And when they asked Krishna, "Who is Radha and Sri Damsaka?" Krishna turned around and cried and made his pillow wet with tears. He couldn't speak. In Briya Bhagavatamrita, we find him saying that no one understands me, how I like the flute so much. Therefore, I have not taken it with me to Dwaraka, because when I play, people are not interested. But how could he go back to Vrindavan? In the Gita, he had said that he had appeared for one mission, to liberate the world from the increase of adharma and to install dharma again. And there were so many demons still who were polluting the atmosphere of the earth. He had to be with them. And another thing was, whenever he said, asked Devaki and Vasudev for permission to just quickly go to Vrindavan and return, they were worried and said, "Not now." They were feeling that if Krishna would go again to Vrindavan, he would like it there so much, he would not return to Dwaraka. There was a problem. And Krishna would not do anything without permission. He was very dutiful. But soon a pretext came, a reason for him to leave Dwaraka and go to Vrindavan. This is what happened. Dantavakra, the great friend of Shalva and powerful ruler and demon, was walking through the sky in Mathura. And he was shouting, when does this Krishna come and fight with me? Dantavakra knew that Krishna would be able to take on any demon if he was in Dwaraka. But he thought if he is in Mathura, at a place which is not so close to him, then I will be more victorious. I will separate him from his army and his friends, and then I will smash him. Little did he know that Krishna was very close to Mathura, and that the people he loved most were only 12 kilometers across the bank that is in Vrindavan. See, Dantavakra was an atheistic fool and did not know about the past Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. So one morning, Narada Muni appeared before Krishna. This is how he came. Dun, dun, dun. He always plays on his veena a sound like this. Then everyone knows, oh, Narada is coming. And he said, Krishna, one of the last demons who is still existent, Dantavakra, is challenging you in Mathura. Why don't you go? And then he made like this. You know what I mean. In Gopal Champu, it's very nicely described what was Krishna's mood. He became so happy. He had now a reason. His avatar reason demanded of him he would take care of these demons. And he went. He went very fast. He told Daruka, let us go to Mathura and further. Let us go. And Daruka understood, my lord is in a fast mood. And it's described, he went with the chariot and he went through the airways. It looked like a streak of lightning, ein Blitz mit Schwanz, sozusagen. And on the front part of this lightning was a ball, and in this ball, very clearly, was Krishna, very happy. He looked almost like Narayan, who is always in the ball of the sun, at least for those who can see him there. And he came like a moving sun from Dwaraka to Mathura. When Dantavakra saw this ball of light with Krishna in it coming, he was first fascinated. But then this vile fellow shouted at Krishna, you are cowherd, you are hiding in Dwaraka, come and show your strength. As he began to offend Krishna, the devatas who heard it were highly upset and they began to shout at Dantavakra, how can you say this to the Supreme Lord? There was loud shouting. Dantavakra and Indra, and I don't know if Indra was there, the devatas. Indra is a little problematic. They were arguing. My dear devotees, when you see someone offending Krishna or Krishna's devotee, don't tolerate this. Krishna will not say anything. The devotees will not say anything. They are kind. But we should see that's not good for this person. And so on. Then Dantavakra, who saw this chariot of Krishna, thought, well, let me first smash his chariot. So he jumped down, took his club, and ran towards the chariot in an attempt to smash it. Krishna first played with Dantavakra, some club maneuvers, but then he raised his Komodaki club, which carries blood from the demons he killed before, and liberated Dantavakra from his sinful existence. And like he had done with the soul of Agasura and Shishupala, he merged the soul of Dantavakra in his own body. That is how kind Krishna is, even to his enemies. He just allows them to enter his all-blissful body. My dear devotees, consider this for a moment. Krishna, like the sun, is not influenced by the dirt or the dirty words of the conditioned souls in this world, but forgives them and takes them on. When this happened, the last demon, there was one small demon still left, but I will jump over him. Vidurata came also, but no need. When these last demons were disposed, Krishna's mind turned to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't have weapons. No? In Vrindavan, Krishna only gives love, no weapons. So he went to the Jamuna. He asked the Brahmanas to come. They chanted auspicious mantras, and Krishna laid down his Komodaki club. He laid down his sword. He gave up his weapons. He gave a lot of charity to the Brahmanas, and then he took a rest at Vishramghat. Do you recognize when Krishna took his first rest in Vishramghat? When was that? Yeah, he had left Vrindavan, exactly. He had taken care of whom? Kamsa. And after the fight with Kamsa, Krishna took a rest at Vishramghat, slept. Now, after all these years of cleansing the earth from the demonic elements, our Lord laid down on the side and took a rest. When he awoke, something very amazing happened. He saw a traveler who had come from Vrindavan crossing the Yamuna and coming towards him. Krishna is here on this side of the Yamuna, just waking up, and he sees a traveler going through the dark blue colors, carrying some stuff, you know, and coming to the other side. And when Krishna saw this person coming from Vrindavan, it could, because Vrindavan is on the other side of the Yamuna. That's where Vrindavan starts. He was overcome with love, and in the confusion of love, he went to the traveler and asked him, "Where is my village?" The traveler looked at the person who had asked him this question and became ecstatic. Is that you? Asked the traveler. Yes, said Krishna, it is me. He took his chariot and he crossed the Yamuna. Now, let us leave Krishna for a moment crossing the Yamuna. It must be very ecstatic. Maybe he remembered how Vasudev carried him once right after his appearance over the Yamuna to the house of Nanda and Yashoda. I think he must have remembered this. But let us leave Krishna for a while. What was the condition of the Brajbasis, those who lived in Vrindavan? You must know that all this time when Krishna was out of Vrindavan, the Brajbasis had heard through messengers about Krishna's most glorious activities. Nanda Maharaj had sent messengers with horses who came to where Krishna had his pastimes, heard everything, saw everything, and then went quickly back to Vrindavan to tell the Brajbasis what Krishna did in his absence, how he looked, what happened, how he married so many queens, and all of this. And the Brajbasis were well informed, and in fact, this Krishna Katha had sustained their life. But something had happened with the line of messengers. There was an interruption when Shalva had attacked Krishna with his iron bird, you know, his airplane, a mystical airplane, and had shot magical weapons at Krishna, destroyed parts of Dwaraka. Somehow, there were no messengers after this. And the Brajbasis were so worried. What had happened with Krishna? And without any news of Krishna, they were at the verge of dying. Nanda Maharaj saw that all his people were not able to continue living without news of Krishna. So he called all the Brajbasis together and they discussed what was the best way to commit suicide. Someone suggested in their desperation that the best way is we just enter fire and we burn it. No, said another, that is very painful, even when you put your hand in the fire. And it's quite slow, you know. Better we enter deep water, the exact opposite suggestion, and drown ourselves. They discussed many things, knives, poison, jumping off mountains, until finally the priest of Nanda, who had listened, said, enough. Enough of this dangerous talk. You must know one thing. You are very, very forgetful. Don't you remember the last letter which Krishna has sent you? Yes, said Nanda, I remember this letter, but now it's a different situation. Krishna is in the clutches of the enemy, and soon Shalva will have killed him. The priest, you don't know your own son. He cannot be killed. And his words don't change. When he says something, that is always true. Don't remember the last letter which Krishna sent you. So Nanda Maharaj said, Why don't you read the letter? So the priest came, and he read the last letter. Would you like to know the letter of Krishna? It's very brief, but very deep. O Father, the priest read. Everyone listen. One thing, I do not live in Indraprastha, nor do I live in Dwaraka. These are towns. Huh? I live in this letter. Keep it in your pocket. In place of my direct association, and I will live with you. This is Krishna, Krishna's power. For all those who feel the separation of Krishna, read the words of Krishna as they are spoken in the Gita, or as you will find them in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as you read and hear about Krishna, my dear devotees, the pain of your heart will end, because Krishna will manifest himself on the lotus of the heart of every one of his devotees in this world who does Shravanam and Kirtanam about him. So, at the point when the priest had just entered, keep this letter in your pocket in place of my direct association and I will live with you. At this point, suddenly, there was a loud tumult in the air. The tumult was, there was a sound coming from the southern direction. First, there was the rattling of a chariot, like a chariot goes. And then the Brijbasis heard the Pancha Janya Conchel. And they knew that sound. They had heard about the sound. And the sound touched their souls directly. They knew this could only be the sound of our Lord Krishna. He has said, keep this letter in the pocket and I will be with you. Now he makes true his eternal words. Everyone heard it, my dear devotees. The young heard it. The old heard it. The animals heard it. The plants heard it. And the Brijbasis shouted very loudly, Jai, Jai!
Jai, Jai!
Yeah, it was a little louder, but the idea was. And then they started to run. The women ran. The children, who could just little walk, they began to run. The old people, somehow, who needed crutches because they were so old, ran because they all knew who was behind the sound. It's not only us conditioned soul who will meet Krishna first in sound in the form of his holy name. Again and again we find how the devotees meet Krishna by hearing the flute sound, the conch shell, Krishna's words which are spoken with a smile in his face and which assure the devotees and so on. And as they ran, they suddenly saw the chariot in the distance and they began to cry tears of ecstasy as they were running, and these tears fell on the dried plants, you know, trees, bushes. And as soon as these joyous tears of the Brijbasis touched the trees and the dried out plants, they began to sprout with new life. But then something happened. which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in one song. Can you imagine what happens to someone who sees Krishna? It's very difficult to imagine. A lot, we can say, a lot. But here Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in the voice of a Sakhi, a gopi, when I see that form of Krishna, who's more beautiful than the dark blue Indranila jewel, it's a sapphire. When I see that Lord standing under a kadamba tree, my mind becomes unsteady and my feet cannot move and I forget everything. How wonderful is the peacock feather crown on his head. How wonderful is the flute in his hands. How wonderful his tribhanga rupa. And the best is his lotus feet. They overflow with the sound of the tinkling of the anchor bells. When Narada Muni, in his meditation, saw Krishna, he first heard the sound of anchor bells. Krishna was stepping with his feet in his consciousness, and there was the sound much more beautiful than this. Then he smelled Krishna's fragrance, and then finally he saw the form, and he couldn't move. He only moved when he lost that vision. Then he jumped to his feet like a madman, crying, where have you gone? The people couldn't move, the Brijbasis couldn't move. They stopped. They became stunned. But then all of a sudden, all of them shouted one word, which unfortunately I cannot translate into the English language. They shout, all these years of waiting for Krishna, all these pangs of separation came in one word, and that word was rising like a roar. It means something like a loving roar. Roar heißt brüllen. It was Ayarava. Still today you find a village at exactly the point where the Lord met the Brijbasis, and this village is called a loud roar. Ayara. It's Ayara. I think it is, we can hear, you know, when you see someone whom you have missed, are you not also saying, ah? You say, to greet him like this, ah? So, ayara, ayara. As a cloud gives happiness to those who are dried out by its showers of rain, Krishna gave happiness to the Brijbasis by flooding them with a wave of sweetness which came from the ocean of his beautiful form. Like a lightning decorates a dark blue cloud, Krishna's yellow dhoti decorated his most beautiful form. Like a cloud produces sweet rain, Krishna's body produced sweet perspiration which covered him like pearls on his sapphire-like body. And like a cloud rumbles with deep sounds. Krishna's voice was very deep and he was choked as he again and again said, Nanda, Yashoda, Sridham. But where were Krishna's cows? Somehow, the cows mainly react when they smell something. When they smell, they need this to know what herbs to eat. They sniff. Maybe when you're close to a cow and she's comfortable, she sniffs you in your direction. If she's not afraid, because she thinks you might order milk from the shop. So when Krishna saw his cows were not there, a very sweet fragrance emanated, and a gentle breeze, who was the best of Krishna's servant at that moment, took the fragrance of Krishna and brought it into the nostrils of the cows. And the cows knew that smell. They had not forgotten it. They had cherished it over these many, many, many painful years. And they all started to run. What Jiva Goswami said, a stream of white milk. That's how it looked. They ran. First, Krishna could not recognize in his ecstasy the individual cows. He knew, of course, each name of each cow. But as they came closer, he knew, Hansi is here. And all these other cows came. And the cows came to Krishna. And when they came, when Krishna saw them coming, do you know what he did? He paid his obeisances to his cows. That's how much he loves them. And then he got up and he embraced the cows and scratched their necks, but the cows were not satisfied. They put their throat to Krishna. Krishna had to scratch their throat. And so on. And in this way, they were very, very nice. But there was one big problem. You know, it said, when fresh, cool rainwater meets the hot and dry earth, there's so much mist and fog and cloud which is created that you can't see anything any longer. And the same happened when the feelings of the Brajbasis met Krishna's feeling. These super ecstatic feelings which I can't really even say. It needs Purnamasi to solve the situation because it's just too ecstatic. And I will stop here because the solution is so ecstatic that it might be too much at this moment for you. But I want you to chant and meditate a little bit about the return of Krishna or meeting Krishna. Prabhupada has instructed us. He has said, Hare Krishna chanting means to have Krishna in the core of your heart. So however you know Krishna, maybe as the distant person on whom you cannot concentrate, maybe as the person who is somehow there in your life and makes arrangements, but who you can't always see, but you know it's him. Like our Kadamba Kanana Maharaj says, he says, try to see the hands of Krishna and not the face of Krishna. Try to see his arrangements in your life. Or maybe you want to think of Krishna as the deities, or as your favorite deity. Or maybe you want to see Krishna in your mind's eye as a favorite picture. I know some of you have very nice original paintings of Krishna. Maybe one of these original paintings is especially attractive to you. Try to chant now by going in this mood and focusing on Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare.
Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Come on. Thank you. Premanandi Hari Hari Om.
So Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for chanting so nicely, listening so nicely. As I was talking about what happened when Krishna blew in his conch shell, I remembered a verse from the first canto of the Bhagavatam. I mean, the content of the verse, and that is, you know, Krishna was often absent from Dvaraka, and at that time his devotees in Dvaraka felt very, very distressed. However, when Krishna came back and returned, when he was just before Dvaraka, he would blow into his conch shell. And the sound would announce his arrival to the Brijbasis, Dvarakavasis, who were in a comatose situation. And there's a very nice description about how Krishna took the conch shell and touched it with his lotus lip and lips. And now conch shells are white, as we know, but as they touched Krishna's lips, the conch shell became spiritualized or Krishnarized and became reddish. And Prabhupada comments on this, that anything which is touched by Krishna or his sound, you know, it becomes spiritualized. And he makes the connection to the Hare Krishna mantra. If we chant that mantra, we become also spiritualized. The sound of Krishna touches us and we become spiritually alive. Hare Krishna. I would like to end here. Thank you very much once again. I know that in the evening there is an evening program happening here by His Holiness Kadambakananda Maharaj. I will be attending this program and therefore I will run out now. All the best for you. And yes, if Krishna gives us time, I'm very enthusiastic to see how this very difficult situation of so much emotional ras was solved by Purnamasi, and how then many sweet dealings with Krishna and individual Brijbasis happened, which showed them that Krishna had not forgotten any single one of them. Good. Hare Krishna.